grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ who follow your Savior as he spoke and walk with him with every step that you take. You had to keep an eye on Jacob because you never knew what he was exactly up to or why he was doing the things that he did. We see in our verses for this morning from Genesis chapter 28, Jacob as he's setting out on a long journey from Beersheba to Haran. When he's about 50 miles out, he stops for the night. He makes camp in a way that is rather primitive. We read from Genesis chapter 28 what happened. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. This wasn't just some camping trip that Jacob decided to go on, some roughing it experience like you or I might do when it warms up around here a little bit more. But we see here that Jacob is to Haran for a very big reason. It starts by stepping back a little bit on Bible history. If you remember Jacob's life, he was the younger twin. And his older twin was named Esau, whom everyone expected him to continue the family line. That's what the firstborn son did. But yet God chose Jacob to be the one who would continue the family line, to be the one who would bring the promises made to Abraham and Isaac to fruition. But Jacob wasn't necessarily content to wait for the Lord to make that happen. He was rather active in getting those rights that Esau had as the firstborn son. On one account, he bought the birthright for a bowl of lentil stew that Esau didn't really seem to necessarily care about too much. But it was the second one when Jacob, dressed up as Esau, went to his blind father and received the blessing that was intended for Esau. That was going a little bit too far. Esau was not happy with what Jacob did there, so much that he planned to kill him, and he was so angry. Jacob knew that if he's going to live another day, he can't do it in Israel. He needs to get out. So at the request of his parents, he goes up to Haran, where they had some extended family, to go up there and to lay low there until things cool down and Esau's temper cool down. And so we see Jacob making his way to Haran, sleeping on a cold ground with a rock for a pillow, with nothing but the clothes on his back, with his brother's murderous anger behind him. It would seem that Jacob had lost it all. But it was in this low, self-afflicted moment that we see a wondrous dream that God had Jacob dream. A wondrous dream comforting him with the trip he had ahead of him. So we look at that dream and what God comforted Jacob with. We see what a comforting dream that is for you and for me as well. To see that our Lord is with us, with his grace and with his angels. And so we can respond in awe and biblical fear of our Lord's great comfort to us. Jacob's comforting dream, it was something else. As Genesis records what happens, that he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. We see in that portion of God's word that the Lord comforts Jacob with four different things. First, with a multitude of angels that were ascending and descending on that stairway between heaven and earth. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that angels are God's perfect servants who serve him endlessly, ministering to the needs of his children here on earth. And Jacob may have seemed like he was all alone, all by himself. When he saw those angels, he would realize God knew what was going on in his life. And those angels are carrying out God's will for him, even in that dark, low moment. The second is when Jacob looked up the stairwell and he saw up on top, the Lord in all capital letters. This is the God of free and faithful grace. Grace that he would freely give to Jacob with our next point, with number three, that he reinstates the promise given to Abraham and to Isaac. God had promised Jacob's father and grandfather that he would make their descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore, and that he would bless all people through the coming Savior. Things may look bleak for Jacob in this moment, but God would still hold true to his promise to send that Savior through Jacob's line, even though he had really nothing at all in this moment. But lastly, and perhaps the most immediate comfort, is that the Lord would be with Jacob on his way to and from Haran. Although he was leaving the promised land, he was not leaving God's promises. And with these four comforts combined, Jacob could then set out on his journey, face his suffering, but with a renewed spirit, knowing that he was not doing it alone, but he had the Lord with him and the promise of greater things to come. As I read those four things that God comforted Jacob with, I'm willing to guess that they may have seemed familiar to you. Because with the exception of the coming Savior who has already come, the promises that are given to Christians today, Christians like you and me, those same angels that went up and down the staircase in Jacob's dream, are still carrying out God's will for us today. The Lord of free and faithful grace shows his grace to sinners, as he did on the cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. We will never be alone, but the Lord will always be with us, even to the very end of this age. But perhaps nowhere do we find those comforts so comforting than when we're in a moment like Jacob was in Genesis chapter 28. Pastor Sulky mentioned at the beginning of our worship service that our theme for our service this morning, so suffering and salvation go hand in hand. That to be a Christian in this world means we're willing to take up our cross and to bear any suffering that comes at us. Usually that means the sufferings that come because of our faith, like persecutions and temptations and the such. But even when we bring suffering upon ourselves, the sinful choices we make, we see that God is still with us. His comfort is with us all the more. How often is it that we make messes of our lives like Jacob did in his own life? It was because of his lie, because of his deceit to his father, Isaac, that he was on the run in the first place, going to Haran, running away from his friends and family and his home. When was the last time that you or I have lied to someone? Or when that charade of half-truths and deceit finally blew up in our face, how much did we suffer because of our own sinful choices? Also, when we put ourselves over others, our own selfish wants, thinking that we're somehow more important than other people. Jacob did that, putting his own wants over Esau's and finding ways to take the rights of the firstborn to find his way of fulfilling God's blessing to him. How have we made messes of our lives? It's not just lies and deceit, not just our own selfish wants, but there are many ways, many sinful choices we have acted on to bring suffering into our own lives with no one else to blame except ourselves. It's easy to get down on ourselves because no one knows our faults like ourselves. When we consider the messes that we have made in our lives, whether in the past or the ones to come, All of a sudden, Genesis chapter 28 doesn't seem so distant. We're in those low, self-afflicted moments. Life can often seem what it must have felt like for Jacob. They're all alone. There's no one and nothing to comfort us. But just as the Lord comforted Jacob in his own low, self-afflicted moment, so the Lord comforts you and me in our own low moments. He said to Jacob, he says to you and to me and to every believer, that I will never leave you. I will always be with you. And to see proof of that, well, we simply need to look to the cross. As the Apostle Paul mentioned in our second lesson from Romans chapter 5, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's rare enough that people will help another person. But if God himself offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross, while we were sinners wanting nothing to do with God, simply unfathomable. A love that only God can show. And if that is the love that our Lord above shows when we are complete sinners wanting nothing to do with God, how much more will he comfort us today who are his children through faith in his Son? This is the love that comforted Jacob in his own low, self-afflicted moment. The love that comforts you and me in the moments of the past and the moments to come. When we feel alone because we have driven people away, when we consider the messes we have made in our lives, know this. Your God is with you with his free and faithful grace. And all those angels, make sure you have what you need according to God's divine plan. And that is a truth that you can count on. This was the comfort that Jacob was told. And as he was set out on his trip and suffer because of his own sinful choices, the comfort he would have through all of his own sufferings. And when he woke up from that dream, the last thing on his mind were the sleeping arrangements that he had before him. As Genesis tells us, when Jacob awoke from his dream, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Jacob responded the only way he could when seeing such great comfort being given to him with awe in his eyes and biblical fear in his heart. Awe that the Almighty Lord came down to him in his moment of weakness, his moment of suffering. Say, "I am with you." Biblical fear, which is actually a positive thing. Often when we use the word fear in our language, it's something negative, something that we don't want to face, something we don't want to have. But when we have fear of God, it is a different understanding. As Martin Luther explains in his second in the Small Catechism, the fear of God is awe and respect for God and his commands as a result of faith in him. When we consider the Lord's heavenly power and his gracious love for sinners, we cannot help but have this fear of God, this awe and respect of what our Lord has done for us. We know it is great because it comes through faith in him. This is the reaction that Jacob had to the comforts given to him. This is our response as well, because the comforts Jacob received are the comforts received to you and to me. We stand before the Lord with awe in our eyes and biblical fear in our hearts because we know who we are. We know who our God is. We've made messes of our lives. That salvation, that suffering go hand in hand. Christ suffered for our salvation. As we walk the path of salvation to heaven itself, we will suffer along the way. sufferings that come because of our own sinful choices. But yet through them all, our Lord is with us. What Jacob heard, what Jacob dreamed that night is true for you and me. As he saw those angels going up and down that staircase, ministering to his every need, to know that our Lord knows what's going on. And he has not forgotten us. He has not abandoned us. But he'll make sure we have what we need at the proper time. Jacob looked up that staircase, saw the Lord in all capital letters, the God of free and faithful grace. Know that the Lord is free and faithful with his grace to you. Forgiving of all your sins, as proven by the cross 2,000 years ago. Explained so well in Romans chapter 5. As Jacob knew, as he heard the promise that the Lord be with him always. Know that that is the case for you too. That is the comfort that our Lord tells us in that wondrous dream. That every step we take on this side of heaven, the Lord will be with us. His grace and his angels. Until one day we will see that with our very own eyes in the heavenly realms. Amen.